far as any experience that would help you or any lesson that would help you, I really can't say, because you don't learn lessons from other people's experiences. But as far as what it taught me, I thought there were a lot of valuable lessons in it. I think it taught me enough to be everything I am now, and I'm very set in life. I mean, I think I'm in a good place in life right now. And I think all of those things, all those experiences, all that hardship, all that heartache, all that happiness, all that fear, I think it all made me the person I am today.
Mm-hmm. I guess we could go into Buffalo. We came to Buffalo, then what happened?
Okay. I came to Buffalo.
That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, I came to Buffalo. Me and Tom came together. My sister was living on Hurdle Avenue then. So I right away got to her house and dumped my gear. And I went to a beauty parlor on Elmwood, on Grant Street, on Military Road and Hurdle, and I told them that I wanted something done with my hair. You know, could they do anything? I mean, I have a short haircut.
This was why?
Why? Because I figured if the cops were looking for me, you know, there's no possible way they would trace me to who I really am, but they knew I came from Buffalo.
I
might
see.
Be looking.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't know, you know. I mean, it was always seemed like the cops were looking for me. Those suckers. They never give up. So, I got a permanent, and I figured the curl would make a little bit of a difference, at least make me look like a girl, see.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be looking for two guys.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be looking for two guys in a white car with Pennsylvania plates.
Mm-hmm.
So the two things we had to do is dump that car and get rid of one of the guys, and we were such a strange couple that, I mean, you couldn't. He was like 6'4", and I'm only 5'4".
Uh-huh.
He's tall and skinny, and I was always kind of hefty. I was thin, like I only weighed about 125, 30 pounds, but I was, you know, I always look like I'm ready punching him up. I always look mad and bully. So, I mean, we were an easy couple to spot.
Did he know that you were a girl?
Yeah, he knew.
Oh, I see.
You know. Uh-huh. So, I got a permit. See if I could do something with my hair, but it didn't look any different. I mean, I still look like a boy with a permanent. So, we stayed with my sister for about a week and a half. The money ran out. I tried to get an apartment. I had to buy clothes. I didn't own, you know, any clothes. I just left real quick.
Did your father know you were in town?
Yeah, my father knew I was in town. He just came over once and said, "You're back in town, you're here to stay, you gotta behave yourself," stuff like that. "Is there anything you wanna tell me?" And I said, "No." He says, "I don't want you getting in trouble." He says, "I'm telling you right now, you get in trouble." He says, "And the next time you'll leave in a box." I said, "All right." I said, "Look, do me a favor." I said, "You wanna get rid of a gun for me?" He says, "All right." He said, "I want it around here with the kids." So I gave him the gun.
What did you have a gun for?
I had a gun because that was part of the business. You didn't think Tom was going to protect me with his fist, did you? I mean, these guys don't play.
Oh,
Jesus
I Christ. See.
He would have had a hell of a time beating up all of them.
So did he carry the gun?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was paying him for. If anything went wrong, I didn't want to get involved.
I see. And did that happen a lot, that people got shot?
Hmm. Well, I don't know. It never happened to me.
But you had reason to be scared.
Yeah. Well, I had reason to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
So, not to be scared. If you're scared, you'd kill yourself in a business like that.
Mm-hmm.
Give a nervous breakdown. But I had reason to be careful.
Mm-hmm.
It saved a lot of paranoia to know that somebody was out there watching you. Would protect you, and it knew I did was safe to know you could get up and walk away clean. If the cops came, Tom would get involved. I mean, I had enough money to bail him out, to get him out of trouble, and to pay it off.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, he got rid of the gun for me, and that was the last time I saw him for months. Tom eventually, after about 2 weeks, decided to go back to Pittsburgh to his wife. So we drove back to Pittsburgh. I dropped him off, and I picked up a girl named Sue, which I had been dating in Pittsburgh. And she was kind of cute. I brought her back here to Buffalo with me, which was probably a bad thing to do because I wasn't ready to cope with her. But she stayed here for about, we got an apartment. We lived together. She stayed here about, about a year. She made such a bad reputation for herself that she had to take off and go back to Pittsburgh.
She was your lover for a year?
No, she wasn't my lover. We just were kind of rumors.
Hmm.
She just was everybody else's lover, see. And she had so many people after her by the time the year was over, including Butch Pat, that wanted to kill her. That I told her, I said, you know, you can't keep doing this. I said, every time somebody sees me, they want to take a poke at me just because I live with you. I said, I can't put up with this shit, you know. I said, you better get out of town. So she did.
Had she been gay before she met you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, not really.
Well, when she met you, did she think you were a man or a woman?
No, she knew I was a girl. She used to date Tex.
Oh, that's the only circle of people.
Her parents didn't know I was a girl, so. She knew I was a girl. I used to date her. I used to pick her up at the house, everything. Her parents had no idea I was a girl.
So in Pittsburgh, there were a few people who knew you were really a girl, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went to high school in Pittsburgh. There were a lot of people who knew I was a girl, but not in the circles that I was traveling in.
Oh, I see.
See, like I led three different lives.
Yes, at least. I'm counting them on my fingers.
Oh, yeah. So let me tell you, it's enough to give anybody gray hair. I mean, I had a whole set of people I went to high school with and neighbors that I lived next door with from when I was a kid that had to know me as who I really was, and I had to be cool in front of them. I had this whole bunch of kids I played ball with in Wilkinsburg, my whole gang that I used to neck in street corners and get drunk with when we were kids. And I also had this whole other circle of pimps and prostitutes and nightclub people and... Oh, yeah.
And did you have to change your appearance if you were going to see, you know, some of your old friends?
Well, I took off my tie and a suit jacket, put on one of those sweaters.
Uh-huh.
And I'll open my shirt collar and put on one of those sweaters.
That's so amazing. And so with all these different circles of people, still you were never uncovered to the people who shouldn't know.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
It's a wonder you could sleep nights.
Right. Right. Positively.
Okay.
Oh. I guess that's why to this day I don't sleep nights. Like, I'm a night person. I'm up all night long. Devils keep me awake. Well, they don't anymore, but they used to. Yeah. So, I tell you, you get shell shock. I'm not even hiding anymore. It's been years since I've ever thought of hiding, but every time a phone rings or a knock comes to the door, you get that old twinge inside of you where I won't answer a door, if you notice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't answer the door or the phone.
Oh.
Shell shock. When you go through a war, you're bound to come out with some scars. So where do we go from there? You need time to think about it?
Just a second. And so we're back in Buffalo. So now in Buffalo...
We're back in Buffalo, 1963, going on 64.
And your identity is what, a man or a woman?
As a girl.
As a girl.
Yeah. Here in Buffalo, I couldn't pass off, you know, any other way. I mean, the first time I was back in 8 years, I hadn't seen my relatives and shit. So,
would you have liked to have been able to pass in Buffalo?
No, I think that I needed a rest. I wanted a fresh start, and I thought I'd better not start it off with fooling people. Mm-hmm. And this is my home. I didn't have to fool anyone here. Mm-hmm. This is my home. I mean, this had to be done clean. There was no reason for any other identity or sex. I had to do it clean. For my old man had shipped me out of town at Pine Box, and he wasn't kidding. He wasn't kidding. So, for the first year, I messed around. Oh, I got a couple jobs. I got a job at the wax factory. Lasted 3 weeks. I messed around. I had a lot of money left over to live on. Finally, one day, I was sitting out in the yard sunning, and, oh, this guy at the unemployment office, which I was going to steady to keep my family off my back, you know, because they just didn't want to think I was going to spend the rest of my life mooching off of them.
How were you able to get unemployment? Was this from a job that you did in Buffalo?
I wasn't getting unemployment. I came here with money. I told you we stole a coin collection that was worth a fortune, and I got here to Buffalo, and I sold the coin collection.
Uh-huh. Oh, you mean a guy at the employment office?
Yeah, I went to the employment office where you go to ask for a job. Yeah. Do you have anything for me today? No, thanks a lot. One of those things, and I had to do that once in a week because my father kept checking with my sister. See, and my sister will not lie. And, you know, she wanted to be able to say, yeah, Dad, she's going to look for a job, and yeah, she's staying out of trouble, and no, she never goes out at night, and don't worry about it, you know, because he was mad at her for taking me in. She's always taking me in, and he's always getting pissed at her. Mm-hmm. So she always sides with me. So, after I'd been here for about a month or so, the guy at the employment office, I got to know him rather well, called me up one day, and he told me, listen, they're hiring at where I work now. Can I put that on tape?
If you want to. It's up to you.
No, it doesn't matter. Anyway, he says, go down there and put in an application. I said, oh, shit. First thing tomorrow. He says, first thing today. I said, tomorrow, man, I'm all full of grease. I'm out in the sun. He says, go today. They're hiring. So I said, all right, you know. So I told my sister about it, and she said, wow, that's a hard place to get into. They never do any hiring there. I said, that's good. So I got dressed and went down there, and the assholes hired me.
And you weren't expecting it.
No, it's the last thing I was expecting. I didn't want to go to work. It was June 25th. I had plans to go to the quarry July 4th. I didn't want to work. I only got one day off. I wanted a whole week. So it was just a real bummer. So I had to, the next day, I had to go into work. It was on the 24th. I started working there the 25th. And I've been working there ever since.
So that's, what year was that?
1964.
Oh. Wow, so you've been there 15 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked my way up from, I started out as assembly, and it took me almost 12 years to fight those bastards, so they'd make me a trucker. Truckers, all the guys had the trucking jobs.
What's a trucker do?
Trucker delivers stock, picks up stock, walks around, stands with his thumb up his ass a lot of the time, mm-hmm. stocks the people. I mean, the assembly workers, they're like slaves. Mm-hmm. They're like slaves. They work their asses off in those places. So I wanted a job as a trucker. Finally, a couple years ago, they gave me a job as a trucker when they started this women's liberation thing and equal opportunity. They couldn't tell me no because I threatened to cause them trouble since it's equal opportunity. So I become a trucker, and from there I worked my way up to a setup man.
What's a setup man?
Setup man is where I come in at the beginning of the day and I hand out jobs to people. I tell them, you work this, you work that. If a machine breaks, I fix it.
Uh-huh. Huh.
It's one step down from a foreman.
Uh-huh.
Foreman is company. Set up is still union.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's as high as you could go without dropping the union and becoming company, which I would never do.
Why not?
Because it's a token job. It's, you need a lot of shit. You're always in contact. Well, because I see what happens to those assholes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd never sell out my people like that. Mm-hmm. And I got the same power where I am now, except I got a union behind me. I could say anything I want. Mm-hmm. And they can't fire me. If I was a foreman and I lost my temper, I'd be out the door with my temper. I can't afford to give up my union.
Uh-huh. Were there a lot of women working there when you got hired?
They're all women.
All women?
All women. All women. Who else can you get to break their backs out of those machines?
All women assembling.
All women assembling.
And then what about the other jobs? Were those
men.
Women?
Men. Men bosses, men set up, men truckers.
hired you, did they know, were there other lesbians? Did they know you were gay?
Oh, Christ, the place is full of them, but you'd never know it the way they look at me to this day. When I first hired me, you know, they used to come in the bathroom to see if I sat down or stood up. Of course, I made a joke out of it. You know, I'd tell them, I'm going to go now. Come on. You know, the ones I knew, the women I knew were doing it, see, because they're all older women. I was just a kid. I was only about 25. And I'd tell them, come on, I'm going. Or I'd walk in and I'd sit there and I'd wait. And a few minutes later, a couple of the older women come in, and they can believe that they're talking, and say, geez, I thought you guys would never get here. I really got to go. After a couple times of that, they stopped. Uh-huh. After a couple times of that, they stopped doing it.
Well, this is wrong. Were there more extreme forms of harassment?
No.
By the guys, by women, by foremen, bosses?
No. There might have been under any other circumstances, but for some reason, I win people over, and they just love me. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a nice person, you know. I don't want, you just don't walk into my space, and I won't walk into yours. And I'm nice to older people. I was brought up with good manners and stuff. And I've never had any problem. Up until a year ago, I have never had any kind of discrimination or harassment because of what I was at work.
Hmm. Really? And then what happened a year ago?
A year ago, they hired a woman boss.
A woman foreman?
A woman foreman that drives me out of my mind.
And does she say things deliberately about you?
She won't let me talk to anyone. She won't let me sit near anyone. And the whole place is in an uproar about it because it's just constant harassment, constant trying to get me in trouble. I'm the only one who's not allowed to leave my area and stuff like that. And people are beginning to say it's because of what I am.
Hmm. Do you think anything can be done about it?
See, I'm stalling off. I could sign discrimination charges against the company and they'd fire her, but I'm hesitating.
Hmm.
I'm bleeding it for all it's worth.
What do you mean?
Well, I get away with murder, see?
Oh.
And every time people feel sorry for me. People lie for me. They sneak for me. Every time she's coming, they warn me. I get away with murder. I walk around work all day stoned. I don't have to do anything. No matter what I get caught doing, even if I get caught doing something, she hollers at me, it seems like she's doing nothing but picking on me more. Mm-hmm. See, so I'm bleeding it. I mean, once I sign a discrimination charge, she'll let up. Then I got to behave myself again.
Oh, my God.
And I don't mind, really. I mean, she's easy, you know. She's easy. If all my problems, all the things I went up against were as easy as her, shit, I would have hit it maybe. She's a real dipshit. She can't even catch me at anything legal. She picks on these little nitty-gritty things like me sitting in the canteen area when I shouldn't be.
Oh.
She's never once caught me up on the roof getting stoned.
Why do you think that a woman is giving you a harder time than a man would?
I have no idea. At first, everybody thought she had a crush on me. See, the strange part of it is, if I spend my whole day with her, she treats me nice. And she treats everyone nice. The only people she picks on are the people I come in contact with. Like the girl upstairs used to work there. She never let up on that kid for a whole year. She rode the shit out of her. Dave, this guy I hang around with, she gives Dave warnings for every single thing she could think of, like a company warning, because she don't want him hanging around with me. The minute she sees me talking to a woman, she'll move her away from that section closer to the office where I can't get near her.
What do you think? Do you think she has a crush on you?
I have no idea. No. I think that she's a power-hungry, control-obsessed person who isn't happy with winning the argument. She wants to break me. I will not bow to her. I think she's a dipshit, and I let her know. When she's making a mistake or when I feel she's doing something wrong, I'll stand up and I'll say, I don't think it's right. I don't think you should be asking that person to do this or me to do this. I'm not doing it. See, I stand up. I butt her authority. Mm-hmm. She cannot stand it. If she could break me in front of those people, every single one of them will be afraid of her. But because I stand up to her, they stand up to her.
Does she give anyone else a hard time like you, or are you really singled out?
No, she singles me out. See, she gives other people a hard time, but usually when they're with me, because the only time she catches them, she is so busy chasing me around, the things are going on all over the plant, cheating like crazy, production has gone down, work is at a slump. People are rebelling against her left and right, damage is being done. I mean, it's affecting the work crew, and the union now knows it. They want to do something about her. They want to have her taken off that job, taken out of there. And it's all happening because she can't get me out of her head. See, she spends her whole goddamn day looking for me, following me, watching who I'm talking to. It's almost like a game we're playing. And naturally, I make fun of her. I get this imaginary fence that surrounds my whole area. And I hang there like this all day long. I know she's looking, I hang there. And the minute somebody sees her passing by, they'll say, Lee, what are you doing? I say, no, lean on my fence, man, lean on my fence. They say, isn't it plugged in? No, I don't think so. I mean, guys pass by and they have these imaginary keys that open the gates and say, you want to come out and get a drink of water or something? And we tease the shit out of her.
Had she worked her way up to this job, or she?
No, she was. Well, it was their second pick, right from the assembly, right from the bench. It was a very bad choice. They needed one black, and they needed one woman, and they picked Ralph and her, or Renee and her at first, and it was a very bad choice. I mean, she just it went to her head. She spends all her time volunteering our services to kiss the foreman's ass, her boss. I mean, oh, my people will do this and my people will do that. I mean, everything illegal, everything against the union. Mm-hmm. Just so she could look good with them.
She's the first woman boss you've had.
She's the first woman boss I've had, right? Mm-hmm. And I have a hard problem taking orders from women anyway.
Do you think at all she could have been set up, you know, knowing that she couldn't do the job? So that it would make women look bad?
Probably. Mm-hmm. No, it's probably. But there's a woman boss down on the third floor that I'm crazy about. Everybody hates her guts, but I'm crazy about her. She is really straight. See, this woman's problem is she lies. And I hate liars. Mm-hmm. And every time she lies and she's caught in it, I tell her we know she lied. I tell her, Ruby, it doesn't matter. Why did you say that when you knew you were lying? Yeah, don't you ever tell the truth? I think we have a right to know the truth. See, and she don't like this. Mm-hmm. I discovered her, and she hates me for it. Yeah. I think she hates me and likes me at the same time. It's a very strange, very sick relationship we have. Oh, Christ, it's a joke.
How many, I want to know, like, about how many women work where you work, and then how many of them are lesbians?
How many women work where I work? There's three plants. There's three plants. I know, there's 2,500 people. Mm-hmm. There's more, but say 50% are women. Mm-hmm. Right? In my department, well, it's hard to say my department, they're all in different departments, but I know at least 50 of them that are lesbians. Hmm. Or have been. Well, I don't know what you mean by lesbians. I float around at work a lot.
Oh.
A lot. Oh. See that? That was a present from one of the girls I work with, that stereo system.
This is about a 6-foot stereo system we have
here. That was a Christmas present from a girl that I worked with that I took out to dinner one night and kissed her, and that was the extent of our relationship.
Oh.
And she bought me that as a Christmas present. That isn't all she bought me, but that's the only thing I have left. And the rest of it is, you know, like money and a couple other things. I used to do a lot of fooling around at work. A lot of fooling around. I have a real obsession with married women.
Oh. What kind of obsession?
Well, I have an obsession with older women. I love older women. Mm-hmm. But usually older women are married. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was young at the time, so I used to have a real bad mother hang-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I never knew, I did know my mother, but I never really got to know her, and I loved her very much. And I used to like people doting over me and babying me and stuff like that. And I was the kind of person that older women always babied.
Mm-hmm.
They always felt I needed to be protected. So they were a very easy mark.
Well, how do you broach the line between them protecting and babying you and your being their lover? I mean, how does that get
caught? Well, because by looking at me, it's easy to see what I am. And, like, I think the sweetest thing that ever happened to me in my entire life, this one woman in particular, she got married late in life. And I think she got married more because it was there than because she wanted to, you know. I mean, it was someone to grow with. And I liked her a lot. Her name was Mary. I used to drive her home all the time. We used to have lunch together. I used to go over her house. And I remember once we had our company picnic at Crystal Beach, and I went for a walk with her. And I went up the hill, and she was coming up the hill, and I reached out to take her hand so I could help her. And just as she reached the top of the hill, she reached over and she kissed me. And I was stunned. It was so sweet. It was so beautiful. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And I says, "What was that for?" And she says, "Because I thought maybe you wanted to." And I did want to, but I didn't know how. I didn't know. She says, "I thought maybe you wanted to." She says, "And if you didn't, I did."
Mm.
And that was the only thing that was ever said between us about it. After that, we were very close. We used to hold hands a lot. You know, I used to pour out my heart to her, and she'd pour out her heart to me. It was, I think it was one of the nicest things that ever happened to me in my life. You know, sweet memories. But there wasn't a lot of, you know, things to mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm a romantic. I love romantic things. I love flirting. I love secret rendezvous. And I love feeling I feel something special about someone who feels something special about me, you know, unrequited love.
Hmm.
And I think that was just exactly what the doctor ordered. And I like relationships like that. Well, a lot of times they don't turn out like that. You know that old saying about a woman scorned. a lot of times, like this situation right here, got very nasty.
Oh, it's very nasty.
Very nasty. But most of them, that's why I think it's safer when they're married or involved. So if they're involved with someone, they're not going to hassle you. You're going to have your moments of beauty, and then you're both going to go home where you belong.
Mm.
See, but when they're free, and this particular girl was free.
Mm.
She wasn't at the time I met her, but I didn't know she could get free so often. I didn't know her boyfriend. I had a wife at home, and he couldn't argue with her for leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned into a very nasty situation.
Well, were most of the women that you got involved with at work, were they straight or were they
straight.
Gay? They were straight.
That's all I ever got involved with was straight women.
And how many over the years do you think there were at work?
Oh, at work? Not a lot. Let's see, I've been there 15 years. Christ, I don't know, maybe 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've toned down a lot in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
Since I met Ray, I don't do too much of anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I work nights and she works days, and it just seems that our extra time is really precious to us. I don't have too much time to play. And anyway, there's no one to play with. See, the older women, since I've reached a point where I'm there, the older women are ancient. I mean, I'm ancient. And we don't hire that often that you get any younger women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, my game time is, I had to replace it by other toys.
Mm. This is going to end. Do you want to keep going, or would you prefer to end now, or what's your...
It doesn't matter.
Your preference.
Doesn't matter. Although you must be tired. You did 2 hours worth of taping.
Are you tired?
No.
Or do you want
to
go?
I'm not doing anything but sitting here. How can I be tired?
Oh, I'm thinking. Well, then maybe we could do another half hour or so.
Sure. Can we take a little break, though?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
I don't know why this... I know this is going to end in a second.
Hello there. Hello, world out there.